Good morning. Somebody's yawning in the front already. Other than the tired people in the front, how is everyone this morning? If you could open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, I want to read the first 15 verses. In these verses, we see Jesus. We see Jesus being busy. Matthew 8, starting at verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with the fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with, and I thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. And I pray that you would teach us this morning, that you would encourage us to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been coaching volleyball for a few years. I find a couple things frustrating about coaching volleyball. One of them is losing, which we're really good at. The other one is picking a team, and picking a team that will be able to be sufficient to practice together, but when it comes time to be on the court, there will be an understanding that there are going to be six people on the court, and whoever's on the bench is going to be content to be part of the team and to be content to be on the bench a little more than others. It doesn't always work that way. And at times, the one time we were in a game and things weren't going all that great, and a couple guys on the bench kept talking about going to Subway for lunch and this and that about subs. And finally I turned to them and I said, the more you guys carry on like this, the longer you're going to stay on the bench. But I understand they're on the team, and they want to be in the game. And they think they have something to offer. They hope that they have something to offer. And they see the team and they see what's going on and they say, I want to be in there. I want to be a part of that. I want to be playing. And I understand that. I hate being on the bench for anything. I've played a little hockey over the last few years, and some nights we'd play 5-on-5, and I love that. because everybody's on the ice the whole time. And you get tired after a while and the game slows down as it goes on. But I want to be there to play. I don't want to be on the bench. Some nights you'd go in and there'd be 10 guys on each side. And so you got to sit on the bench and you're waiting. You're patiently waiting and you slowly move down towards the door. And there's that moment when you know somebody's going to come off and you're going to get to go back out there. And, oh, I want to be out there playing. We play a little bit of volleyball. We just started doing this in Spanish again. And the second night we played 2-on-2. It was a little interesting. Since the two that we were playing, there was Dustin and I. Dustin's 18. I'm just a little older than that. And the other two guys, one was in his 50s and one was in his, towards the end of his 50s. No, I guess they're both in their 60s anyhow. They're old guys. And so if you were to look in a yearbook, they would be in the year that somebody was talking about yearbooks this morning. They would be in the year that he graduated in, back in the 40s or 50s, whatever it was. But anyhow, the next week at volleyball, there were too many people. There was enough for about 7 or 8 on each side. And the one guy kind of hesitated, and he said, go ahead, go on. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. And I didn't argue with him anymore because I wanted to be on the court. I wanted to be out there doing something. Only once in all my years of coaching have I had somebody say, no, I don't want to be on the team. I'm not on the team. I don't want to be on the court. It was going to be our last game of the season, and I was setting up the line and just changing things and trying to, you know, just trying to get everybody to play. And I said to this one girl, I said, I want you on. She said, no. I said, what do you mean? She said, I don't want to go on. I said, why? I just don't want to go on. And I thought, I've never seen that. I've never seen somebody that says, I don't want to go on. Most of the time, they want to be there. And I find it so incredible, so encouraging in this passage that I've read, and specifically in verses 15 and 16, sorry, 14 and 15, the story of Peter's mother-in-law, and she's sick. Jesus heals her. And immediately she arose. My Bible says she served them. Some of your Bibles will say she waited on them. But immediately she was healed, and immediately she said, I want to be in there. I want to be doing something. I want to be on the court. I want to be on the ice. I want to be wherever you want me to be, Lord. I want to be there. I want to be serving you. So I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. But before we do, when I read stories through the Gospels and I read about people being healed, I'm always reminded of the fact that each one of us need to be healed. We have a disease called sin, and we cannot take care of that disease on our own. Peter's mother-in-law, she was sick. She had a fever. Luke tells us that she had a high fever. So she was very, very ill. She couldn't get out of bed. She couldn't do anything on her own. She wanted to do things. She wanted to, as any other person, she wanted to look after herself. As a hostess, she wanted to look after those people who had come into her house. And she couldn't do anything. She couldn't get up and do anything. And as sinners, as people who are afflicted with this disease of sin, we cannot do anything for ourselves. And we can't serve God because of that sin in our lives. We need something. We need someone. And in this story, it's so amazing what Jesus does here. It says, he touched her hand. She's lying sick in bed. And she can't get up and she can't do anything. And Jesus reaches out and he touches her hand and he heals her. I don't know if she reached out her hand to him. I don't know if she just was lying there and immobilized and he touched her, but he touched her hand. And every single one of us need that touch, don't we? We need that touch from Jesus, that gentle, gentle touch from his hand. And when we, by faith, respond to what Jesus Christ has done for us, he reaches out and he touches us. And he heals that disease of sin. We're forgiven. Instantly, we're forgiven. We have life. We have new life. And we're able then to serve him. We're able to love and worship him. We're able to commit our lives to him. It's so wonderful. He touches her. The fever left her. And she arose. She got up right away. And she starts to serve him. We should all be serving, shouldn't we? Every single one of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ should be serving him. We should be faithfully serving him in whatever way, in whatever place he calls us to. But it's not always that way, is it? That's not the reality of the Christian community. There's something wrong. We had our third annual clean sweep, we call it, of the town of Massey. Our chapel is in Massey, and so I kind of organized this thing, got this thing going 3 years ago, and so we go and we divide up and into groups, and we divide the town of Massey up, and we go and we clean it from one end to the other, and then different churches in the town are involved in it, and we all provide a potluck lunch, and we come back to the chapel, and we have a meal together, and have some time chatting together, and it's really encouraging to be able to make connections with people in the community, people that some of them that are believers that we can have fellowship with, some that don't know the Lord yet. And how are we going to share the gospel with them if we're not rubbing shoulders with them? So it's an interesting way to connect with people. We're six people from our chapel. Our church is hosting it. There were six of us. Three of the people that were there were in their 70s. Two of the ladies stayed behind and they helped to organize the food and everything. One of the ladies went out and helped pick up some garbage for a while. And then there were two other of us young ones. Our church on a good Sunday would have 50 or 60 people. And six people came out. I look at that. And I see two things. Number one, I see something's wrong. Number two, I see it every place I go. I see it when I talk to people, when I talk to people in leadership in other churches, I see the same thing. Massey isn't unique. Massey isn't the only group of people that just, for whatever reason, doesn't have the drive or determination or desire to be there serving the Lord in whatever way, whatever place, whatever way they can be serving. Now, I don't expect everybody at our church to set aside time for every activity that we're doing, every event that's going on. People have lives to live. People have other commitments. People have responsibilities. There are things that are going on in people's lives. But I had hoped that more would have come out. Why? Why don't people want to serve the Lord in whatever way he wants them to serve? Well, I have a list of reasons. Some of this list would be personal because there are times in my life when I've said, I don't want to serve the Lord. and some of these are reasons that are pointing at this guy right here. I'm going to go through this list of reasons why people are reluctant to serve the Lord. The first one, some of them can't. Some people can't serve the Lord because they have no life. They may have had a religious experience. They may be a part of a church. They may read their Bibles. They may sing the songs. They may go through all of the motions, but they've never made that one crucial motion of submitting their lives to Jesus Christ in faith, receiving him as Lord and Savior. They have no life. They can't serve him. I was amazed years ago, and I've shared this a few times in different places over the years, but it just struck me as so almost unbelievable. I read, my dad had a tract in his truck, in his work truck, and he had a few different ones in there, but there was one I talked about, a guy that had been a pastor of a church for something like 10 years. And had been a very, very good man, a very, very a good speaker. He communicated the gospel very clearly. Many, many people under his ministry had made professions of faith. And then this man got saved. He had never met Jesus Christ himself. He thought he knew the Savior. He thought that he was a believer. He thought that his eternity was taken care of. And he had not yet made that decision for himself. We read in John chapter 3 the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus thought he was on his way. Nicodemus thought he had a close relationship with God. And Jesus says to him, "You must be born again. Before you can really do anything else for me, you must be born again." And Nicodemus is kind of scratching his head and saying, "I thought I was on the right way. I thought everything was okay in my life." But there was something that he was lacking. And it's possible that in your life, you felt frustrated in trying to serve. You felt frustrated in trying to offer something to the Lord. And maybe it's because you've never truly offered him your life. You've never put your trust in him. The second thing that can prevent us from serving is sin. Sin always gets in the way. Have you ever sat down for a meal and you look at the plate and there's egg yolk caked on the plate? You ever had that happen? What's your first response? Oh, egg yolk. You ever sit down and you look at your fork and there's lettuce stuck on the fork? Lettuce seems to, it has that ability to get kind of, it wraps around the tines or something and it gets stuck there. And you look and you're going through and you look and there's a fork. You're unloading the dishwasher and oh, that one's not clean yet. Are we excited about that? If you were going to a restaurant for lunch today and they bring out and put a dirty plate in front of you and a fork that has lettuce on it and a glass of water and there's a big lipstick print on the glass, what is your response going to be? This stuff is dirty. Take it back. Bring me something clean. And yet we, with dirty lives, try to serve the Lord. We're offering him our vessels, but they're contaminated by willful sin. We go out and we sin and we sin and we sin. And then we say, "Lord, I want you to use me. I want to serve you somehow." And the Lord says, "You're a vessel that's dirty. You need to be cleansed. You need to come to me and confess this sin to me. You need your life cleansed before you can truly serve me." Some of us need to deal with the issue of sin again in our lives. Not coming to him by faith again and being saved again. That's not possible. But coming to him and saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. I've been living my own life. I've been living for the desires of the flesh. I want you to cleanse me. I want to serve you." Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're afraid to serve the Lord. I'm not good in emergency situations. I don't like being in emergency situations. We were coming home from Pecanjicum. We had gone up after the March break, and Dustin and I and a friend of his, we took Danielle back up, and we spent a week with her. And on the way home, we ran into horrible, horrible weather. And we're driving along, and I'd passed a car. And a couple of minutes later, I look in the mirror, and I thought, this car is pulling off the highway. Then I realized there was no road. And the car had lost control and drove off in the ditch and spun around and almost made it back out onto the highway. I was glad to see another vehicle coming behind and slowing down. Because I don't know how to go in an emergency situation and go and knock on somebody's door, open their door and help them out and say, are you okay? And do all of the emergency stuff that some people are good at. And so I slowed down a bit and the young guy said, Dave, are you going to go back? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And I felt bad about not stopping. I felt bad about not going back. But I was afraid to go back. I didn't know what I would do. I didn't know what I would say. I didn't know what I'd encounter. And I had the good excuse, we didn't have a cell phone. So, you know, you quickly justify things. But I knew there was, if there was nobody else coming, I would have stopped. I would have got off the highway safely. I would have done something. But I was afraid to do something. I wasn't sure what to do. And so fear kept me from doing something. Sometimes fear of making mistakes keeps us from doing something. We really want to serve the Lord. We've committed our lives to Him. And we're not afraid so much of what man is going to say. We're not afraid so much of being criticized. We are afraid of making a mistake. Well, I was listening to the singers in the opening and listening to the choir and thinking, you know, it just sounds so good. And I have songs that I like to sing. And I thought, you know, I should bring a song sometime and a guitar. And I thought, are you crazy? Because I don't always hit all the right notes. I'm sitting there thinking this and thinking, you know, if I was up here singing a song and playing away and all of a sudden, and my voice doesn't come out that nice. I forget how you say it, just breathing it out or something. Sometimes it sounds like it's being choked out of me or something. And so I think, I can't do that because I'll make a mistake. And somebody will laugh. Or somebody will criticize me. Or somebody will say, well, Dave, then that's definitely not your ministry. And so we need to find some other place for you to serve. Look at a guy like Peter. Can you imagine if Peter would have been afraid to make mistakes so he didn't want to serve the Lord? Peter made so many mistakes, and yet his heart was to serve the Lord. And even after making so many mistakes, he wants to serve. And Jesus says to him, Peter, I want you to serve me. I know you're going to make mistakes. I know you're going to do some things wrong, but that's okay. You're not perfect. Jesus says, you're not perfect. Peter, I am, but you're not. But I can forgive you, and I can use you even in your imperfection. Fourth reason, sometimes we love the world too much, and this would go hand in hand with sin, wouldn't it? But sometimes we love the world so much, and all of the desires and all of the goals of this world consume us. And by the time we're done working and slaving and doing everything that we're trying to do to get ahead in this world or to achieve whatever it is we're trying to achieve in this world, we've got nothing left for God. We're just exhausted because we love this world so much. And when it comes time and we've got opportunities and we've got the ability to serve God, we're just exhausted. We need to adjust our priorities, don't we? We need to love Jesus Christ first and foremost. And love His people. And love His ministry. And love the opportunities that we have to serve Him. Everything else should be second and third and so on in our lives. Sometimes we grow careless. Sometimes we get careless, and so we want to serve the Lord, and we start out really well, and we're serving, and you know, this is one day here that we're told in this story, and Peter's mother-in-law, she's healed, and she gets up, and she starts waiting on them, and she's serving them, she's serving the Lord, and she's excited about it, but maybe the next day, if they stayed there, maybe if they stayed there for a month. You know, the first day there's fresh towels out for all of Jesus and all his disciples, and there's a really good food every day. And maybe by the end of the second week, you know, the towels are okay. You know, you can use a towel more than one day, can't you? And there's nothing wrong with serving leftovers, is there? And I can see that progression. I can, if I put myself in this place, I can see that progression. You know, at first there's all this excitement and enthusiasm, but after a while it's okay. And it's, if it's good enough for us, it's good enough for them, isn't it? And we do that in our service for the Lord. We start out well. We're excited. We're going to do something for Him. And whether it's something big or something small, we're going to give everything that we've got and doing that. But after a while, after a few years, we don't have to plan as much because we've planned it all out. We know how to do it now. And we don't have to pray about it as much because, well, we've prayed about it a lot. And we don't have to put our heart into it because we've given our heart so much over the years, and we slowly, slowly get careless. Next one is an interesting one that I've noticed. I like to watch people and see what people are doing, and I've seen people. There's a simple job to be done, but it's below them. I've watched this after we've had potlucks at our own church, and it comes time to clean up. And you can just tell that some people, they're not meant for a lowly job like cleaning up, taking dishes off tables and washing them. I don't do that. I'm beyond that. I'm more important to this group of people than washing dishes or clearing tables or wiping tables down or sweeping the floor after. I don't think there should be any job below us. I've been so encouraged at times when I've seen the elders of an assembly, and there's a dirty job to be done, and it's a job that, you know, as a leader, you should be designating somebody to do that dirty job, right? And yet I've seen the leadership in there and doing that job, and, you know, they've got their sleeves rolled up, and they're doing that job. It's not below them. It's not below their calling. It's not below their education. It's not below their station in life. Jesus Christ left heaven to come down to this world to serve. There was nothing below Him. If we think anything is below us, then are we better than Jesus? Oh, sometimes we get tired of the same old routine. The same old routine. We've always been doing this, and we're always going to be doing this. And as a church and as part of our ministry or part of our outreach, we're always going to be doing this. And I just get tired of doing the same old thing over and over and over and over. And so we lose that desire to be serving the Lord because we're stuck in a rut. And we can't seem to find any reason to be excited anymore. We can't find any reason to be enthusiastic about serving Him anymore. Because we've been doing the same old thing over and over and over and over. And yet, there'll be things that we've done over and over and over and over, and we'll go and do them again if it doesn't involve the Lord. I don't want to teach Sunday school anymore because I've taught Sunday school for so many years. I don't want to work with this anymore because I've done that for so many years. There's a place. I was out metal detecting not long ago. And there's a place that's about 10 minutes from home. And I found this as a little camp that was there. And I discovered this place about, probably 15 years ago. So I've been going there. I make this annual little trek there, and I go and I swing my metal detector around. And I don't think, oh, I've got to go out and metal detect this place again. I think, here's a challenge. I've been there so many times, and I found a number of interesting things, but I'm going to go again and see what I can find. And the last time I was there, it was just last month, and I found a 1913 Canadian, like the big pennies, 1913, beautiful condition. I couldn't believe it. I was excited because there was still something there. It wasn't the same old routine, I've got to go walk around. No, there was something. I knew there was going to be something there. And if you feel like you're stuck in that same old rut and that same old routine, maybe you just need to think, there's something there. If God has me in this ministry, then maybe there's one more treasure there that I'm meant to find. Maybe there's one more soul that can be won in this ministry. Maybe there's one more believer that can be encouraged in their walk with the Lord. Maybe there's one more dish that needs to be done. And in doing that dish, the Lord is going to do something incredible. Just one more. And sometimes maybe if we're stuck in a rut, we're stuck in a rut. And we maybe need to do something different. We need to re-examine what we're doing in our service for the Lord. And look at that ministry that we're involved in. And maybe it needs to be changed in some ways. Maybe somebody else will do it. Maybe somebody else will do it. That's what I thought when I saw that car in the ditch. Somebody else will do it. And I was glad that somebody else came along right away and somebody else could look after that. And if there was a list of things to volunteer for today, if there was something that needed to be done and there was a list out back and you looked at that list and you saw some names on it, you'd be, oh good, somebody else is doing it. It's so easy to let somebody else do something. We're robbing ourselves and we're robbing the Lord because we're letting somebody else serve. And the last one, and I think there are more that we could come up with, but the last one, sometimes we're not serving because we're not being encouraged or directed by people in leadership. Not just the elders of an assembly, but people who are in leadership in different ministries that are going on. Maybe we're not being encouraged to do those things. Maybe people aren't recognizing that you're gifted in this area, that the Lord is calling you into this ministry. Sometimes we just need that little bit of encouragement. This girl that refused to go on the court when she was in grade 9, she was captain of the team the next year. And she flourished as a captain. And I was kind of surprised. I knew she had the skill to be a captain, but I didn't know, I wasn't sure if she had the leadership ability. But I thought she did. And she did a really good job of being the captain of that team. She just needed somebody to encourage her. She needed somebody to give her that little bit of direction. And maybe that's how you feel this morning. And maybe if you are in the oversight of a ministry here, maybe you need to look around and see who's here and who needs that little boost, that little encouragement, that little calling. Have you ever thought about doing this? Have you ever thought about doing that? And you would not believe the impact that that could have in your life. I got a phone call in 1986. Would you like to come and counsel for a week at Camp Oshpakoon? Never heard of it, never counseled in my life, never had a desire to counsel in my life. But I went and counseled for a week. It was such a small thing, and yet it had such a profound impact, not only in my life, but in the life of my family. After all the Lord has done and is doing for us, there's no greater thing that we can do than to serve him in whatever capacity he calls us to. Peter's mother-in-law was touched. She arose and she served. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning. I thank you for the ability and responsibility that you've given us to serve you. I thank you for the incredible number of opportunities that we have. And if we have been using some of these excuses, I pray that through your Spirit, you would stir our hearts. That you would help us to be like so many people that we see in your word, who immediately begin began to serve. And so many in your word and so many that we know of who have served faithfully for so many years. We thank you for their example. We thank you again for the privilege that you've given us to be able to serve such a wonderful God and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.